Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and dust you shall return." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and wander on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance." And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let us read the psalm responsibly. Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me.
You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You encompass me behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it.
Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light me around me turn to night.
Darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both light.
For you yourself created my inmost parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb.
I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well.
My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my lips, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. My days were fashioned before they came to be.
How deep I find your thoughts, O God. how great is the sum of them.
If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my life standeth, leave me like yours.
Our second reading is from Romans. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercises dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like trespass. For if the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin, for the judgment follows one's trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Today, St. Andrew's continues the journey through this season of creation. While last Sunday named the forests and woodlands, today the focus turns to the prairie and land. In the first reading, the lectionary continues with a semi-continuous reading through Genesis, where last week the church heard about God creating humanity for the purpose of tending and tilling the creation. This week, the scripture choices pick up in the middle of two separate episodes. In the first, creation hears the consequence of boundary transgression. Adam and Eve get their consequences for eating the fruit. But before they hear their consequence, the serpent gets its own consequence. Where Archbishop Desmond Tutu's story of creation spoke of humanity playing and eating all they wanted in the garden, now humanity will struggle with childbearing and producing food. The commentator for these scripture readings reminds listeners that these realities of transgressions and consequence are descriptive, not prescriptive. Life does not have to be this way. Then that first reading skips to the strife between brothers and leads to fratricide. Again, the story picks up in the middle. Cain and Abel each have their gifts. Listeners may remember that Cain tilled the land, and Abel, his younger brother, tended the sheep. One commentator suggests this as the first conflict between farmers and ranchers. Again, description,
not prescription, wins the day. On the margins of the sandhills in Nebraska, one rancher pointed out that land had to lay fallow for literally decades because someone had decided that with irrigation technology, they could farm in the sand hills. In the end, the inputs in fuel and fertilizer far outstripped the production value of the land. They could not make back in the crops as much as they had to spend to grow them. But the damage had already been done. The land had to be entered into a process of set-aside while the prairie grasslands could redevelop. Even still, that rancher complained that running even a few head of cattle on the Conservation Reserve Program land would help speed that recovery. The cattle moving around would help stir the soil for faster regeneration. But alas, the CRP rules would not allow it. When Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord, Cain's gifts of the first fruits from the land did not get the same regard from God that Abel's gifts of firstlings from his flock. Cain became jealous and angry. Cain was angry enough to take the life of his brother. Abel's blood cries out from the very ground. And yet again, humanity hears a consequence that leads to difficulty producing food from the earth. For millennia, humanity has sought to solve the challenges presented by farming and ranching. Humanity struggles with questions of relationship with one another, even as groups experience conflict over possession and use of the land. The story goes on. Cain becomes a fugitive and a wanderer. Ultimately, Cain and his wife settled and founded a city. Some Bibles refer to this as the beginning of civilization. It seems to be a bit of a rough start. And the commentator who identified the conflict between ranchers and farmers in the Cain and Abel story suggests that the founding of cities introduces another layer, another level of conflict among humanity. To be certain, often city dwellers can tend to begrudge the support that farmers and ranchers get by federal government policy. These substantial benefits make farming possible amid the many stresses and challenges, indeed the gamble that planting and living with the weather and all the different threats to crop and livestock put those who are engaged in agriculture at risk on so many levels. Some families diversify their crops, and others buy or rent land that is far apart, far flung, all to mitigate the risks. But many cannot. Similarly, people in rural settings can often begrudge the support and resources provided to municipalities and people living in cities. Certainly, the costs of infrastructure return greater investment more quickly in higher population areas. This truth in business extends also to government investment. Too often, development extends municipal sprawl that gobbles up some of the best farmland. Whether farmer or rancher or city dweller, each has concern about how the others spend their relationship with the land. Each must wrestle with questions of stewardship in their circumstance. The conflict takes so many forms. Humanity continues to seek ways to produce more, feed more, while tending and tilling the land. Yet so very often there exist unintended consequences. Pesticides necessary for farming contribute to the demise of pollinators. And the collapse of whole ecosystems of pollinators risks the future of plant life in general that depends on them. Yet outlawing the use of pesticides and herbicides can lead to a whole new set of issues with production of food to feed the world. Certainly, the fuel costs and the environmental impact of cultivating fields, making several passes over them instead of spraying them, well, that pollutes in its own way. Tending flocks has taken to confinement operations for cattle and for hogs and for poultry. With all their efficiency, these represent great challenges with susceptibility to disease, even as the sewer lagoons produce intensely concentrated runoff. Human best efforts to tend to bring disaster for humanity and creation alike. Competing needs and concerns bring conflict among people of various circumstances and role. Yet God continues to entrust humanity with responsibility to tend and till the soil, to care for creation, no matter how flawed human plans can be. Throughout the story of God's interaction with the first humans runs a thread of love and compassion. That thread continues all through the Old Testament. Through the ministry, life, and death of and resurrection of Jesus, who entered the heart of the earth so that there is salvation for all creation. This thread continues to this day. In response to this love, the faithful live into their call to care for all that God has created. By the truth of God's grace, the church can advocate for policy and activity and action that seeks the life and well-being of all.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.